Now that we got that hot girl summer shit out the way, it's time for the fella season. Y'all know what time it is. Let's go.
Fuck boy fall. It's fuck boy fall. Yeah, hot girl summer is over. Now it's fuck boy fall. It's fuck boy fall. It's fuck boy fall. Yeah, hot girl summer is over. Now it's fuck boy fall.
Fall is here, my favorite time to trick. Great sweatpants on, just a swing of my dick. Got my girlfriend with me, but that ain't my chick. Everybody looking at me like he ain't shit. But I don't give no fuck, cause I'm about that drummer. I got 8 kids with 9 baby mamas. If you need a ride, bro, we could use a car. It's a 98 Mecca, so we won't get far. Might tell you that I love you, just a hit. Try to spend the night with me, nah, that ain't it. Might call you as an Uber, might call you a Lyft. Wait till I get outside, then cancel that bitch.
Fuck my girl to sleep, then steal out her purse. Never been a faithful type, and that shit is merch. I'll leave you when you're pregnant, but it won't be the end. But it don't matter, cause I know you'll always come back again.
Cause it's fuck boy fall.
It's fuck boy fall. Yeah, hot girl summer is over. Now it's fuck boy fall. It's fuck boy fall. It's fuck boy fall. Yeah, hot girl summer is over. Now it's fuck boy fall.
Elite toppers mixed with honor and backs our stream. Got fans in Japan and gorillas on my team. So please follow me for the live broadcast. X Marks is about the Wrestling Podcast. X Marks is about the Wrestling Podcast. X Marks is about the Wrestling Podcast. Here comes the
champions, yeah.
What up, you smart-ass bitches, to another episode of X Marks the Spot. I'm your host, X the Homie, and today we gonna talk about fuckboys. Now, you heard the song Fuckboy Fall, you know, the hot girl summer is over, so it's Fuckboy Fall, time for the fellas to represent. And with that being said, you know, what is a fuckboy? Like, it's a lot of definitions of fuckboys. You know, the standard one is, you know, somebody trying to holler at a whole bunch of women at one time, not trying to marry them, blah blah blah. But to me, a fuckboy is just somebody that just do fuck shit, like just some real fucked up shit. Like, no decent human being would do the type of shit that a fuckboy would do. And no sport is exempt from fuckboys, including wrestling, especially wrestling. Like, It goes hand in hand. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down some of my most favorite fuckboy moments, if you will, in wrestling now. I'm pretty sure it's just a lot of fuckboy shit that went on in wrestling. But, you know, just on the top of my mind right now, it's only a handful of stuff I can even remember. And who knows, this might even be a series like shit. Fuckboy Fall 2, a Fuckboy Winter, Fuckboy Summer, Fuckboy Spring. You know, you just never know. Wrestling is all year round, so ain't no telling what's gonna happen. So I'm gonna kick it off with the first fuckboy moment I ever seen in wrestling, and it comes from the first wrestling show I've ever seen on via videotape, VHS. For y'all wondering what the hell that is, y'all young people, it's just some shit that we used to watch before we could just watch it on our phone, the WWE Network. So I'm going to go back to SummerSlam 90 when the Million Dollar Man bought Miss Sapphire. He bought her out from Dusty Rhodes, and it's a very fuckboy thing to do. I ain't realized back then that it's some fuckboy shit or some fuck shit. I'm gonna be saying fuck a lot, so y'all just be ready for that. But you know, Dusty Rhodes had a match with Macho Man, who was Macho King at the time, and you know, he ended up losing by count out because Million Dollar Man said, "Hey, I got your Sapphire. I got up in this fur coat. She in my limousine. She got a WWF gym bag full of that money. Some of your broke ass can't provide her with because you a son of a plumber and you wear polka dots and shit." He ain't say all that, but you know, that's pretty much what Million Dollar Man was saying. And he walked off with Sapphire, and Dusty Rhodes said, "Fuck this match. I gotta get Sweet Sapphire. I gotta get Sweet Sapphire. Oh, Sapphire, baby, don't you leave me for all the millions of dollars. I want to provide a good life for you." I'm sure that's not how he sounded, but it's pretty close. So he leaves the ring, chase down the limo. They drive off. You never see Sweet Sapphire again. And you know, that was my first like wrestling show, so I ain't really even know too much about the story of, you know, Sapphire and Dusty Rhodes and all that shit. But you know, the storytelling is what really kind of drew me into wrestling, because I could see that a man was hurt, that he lost his companion, valet, whatever the hell she was to him. Rest in peace to both of them. And it's a lot of hurt from that. And you know, because of that, you know, I'm just gonna say Million Dollar Man, you know, he was a fuckboy for that. Now, he would go on to do a whole bunch of other fuck shit down the line, like, you know, kicking the basketball out of a kid's hand, making a teenage Rob Van Dam kiss his feet for $100, all type of crazy shit. Like, Million Dollar Man was just a bad person overall. Like, he is just, that motherfucker was terrible. Ain't no way around it. So I'm going to move along to the next year at SummerSlam. And when Jake the Snake decided to ruin Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth's wedding reception. Like, for those of y'all don't remember, you know, Macho Man and Jake the Snake, this one, Jake the Snake, like, turned heel, well, again. And, you know, Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth got married. That's the only royal wedding I acknowledge. They got married, and the I said, "Miss Elizabeth, ooh, yeah, you got lust in your eyes for Elizabeth." He ain't say all that, but yeah, that's what happened. The wedding reception, they opened the gift, a fucking snake pop out. Now, this ain't the first time Jake the Snake done pulled a damn snake on Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, he done the snake that bit his ass and all type of shit. But then he brought the shit to the wedding reception, and the Undertaker was there. I don't know why he was there, but Sid Justice, out of all people, he came with a damn a wooden folding chair and saved the day. I didn't know Sid Justice was a baby face. He just always was a crazy looking fucking heel. So just for the fact that Jake the Snake ruined such a beautiful wedding moment, then that's a fuckboy thing to do now. I ain't calling these wrestlers fuckboys. Trust me, this is all in kayfabe. This is just some fuckboy moments. And if he ain't caught that by now, then you's a fuckboy. Anyway, moving along, while I was talking about Sid Justice, I'm going to take it back to his WCW days when he was Sid Vicious. And the most fuckboy thing he did, aside of joining the Four Horsemen, was when he decided to beat up Santa Claus. Now, I don't know if that was on the pay-per-view or was I just watching WCW that Saturday night. But all I remember was Santa Claus. Yes, I'm going to say Santa Claus because fuck it, why not? Santa Claus came down there, you know, with his bag full of shit or whatever, waving around, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, all that good shit. And I guess Sid Vicious wasn't in the Christmas spirit, so he proceeds to beat the holy fuck out of Santa Claus, out of Kris Kringle himself. I'm talking about he stomped on his, all I remember was seeing him stomping his boot and his bald head in the ground. Like, I don't know if Santa Claus was a worker or not, or was he just a poor soul that just had to deal with Sid Vicious, old vicious ass. But yeah, he was Santa Claus ass, and that shit made me cry. And because that shit made me cry, then I'm going to consider Sid Vicious to be a fuckboy for that shit. Like, you don't put your hands on Santa Claus now. Like, you, that's just something you don't do. There's kids in the audience. If my little bitch ass is crying in Chicago, just imagine what the little bitch ass kids in the arena was doing. They was probably crying like a motherfucker. So, Sid, I still ain't forgave you for that. And another motherfucker I ain't forgive for making me cry is that damn Papa Shango when he fucking put that damn curse up, put a damn root on Ultimate Warrior and made him start convulsing and throwing up and it's all nasty and shit. Like, you know, Papa Shango, he's around 92 or whatever. Like, he is just fucking with Ultimate Warrior. Like, he made him throw up nasty shit. He made black shit come down from his head. Like, just putting all type of curses on it. And I don't even think they had a match after that. So, that's a fuckboy thing to do. And the fact they didn't even have a payoff. Like, and then what the fuck? So, I don't even know. Like, do I call the booker a fuckboy for that shit? Do I? No. I didn't know what booking this shit was when I was six. So, I'ma just say Papa Shango was a damn fuckboy for doing that shit. Like, you don't do that shit to Ultimate Warrior. It's just some things you don't do, and that's one of them. And since we're still talking about, you know, the early days in the 90s, you know, I mentioned fucking Macho Man and all that stuff, rest in peace. I'ma bring up another one, another fuckboy moment, which happened around the WrestleMania 8 time, is when Ric Flair was spreading rumors saying that he is, you know, And I'm trying to use better language here, but he's pretty much saying he is fucking Miss Elizabeth outside of his pool and all that shit. Like, that's what I got out of it. Like, I didn't put all them words together back then. But, you know, when you grow up, when you grow older, you know, when you become a man, you know, you start thinking about that shit. So I'm sure Ric Flair did a whole bunch of fuck shit throughout his career, but this is the first thing like I noticed about him. He had fucking pictures and shit. I don't know if the pictures were doctored or none of whatever. But he was showing that shit, trying to get a Macho Man's head before they title match at WrestleMania 8, the double main event. And, you know, Macho Man wasn't, you know, he wasn't having that shit. He came out there with a little gold jumpsuit on and whooped Ric Flair's ass via roll-up and pulled the drawers up, seeing some of his ass hanging out. So he showed his ass. He embarrassed him in front of the world. And Miss Elizabeth, I want to say she slapped the shit out of Ric Flair for that shit, you know, just for being a fuckboy, trying to say, like, they ain't just gonna tell my husband that we fucked, man, why you show him these pictures? But, you know, I'm implying again, like, you know, I don't know if that shit actually went down, but this shit looked pretty real, so you just never know. But, man, rest in peace, Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man. So, while I'm talking about affairs again, I kind of mentioned this on my 1998, back in 98 episode, about Val Venus sleeping with Terry Runnels, who was married to Dustin Runnels, or Goldust, at the time, by showing him a flick called The Preacher's Wife. All right, so Val Venus was a fuckboy for that, but he's a funny fuckboy because he named a little porno flick. Every time he used to fuck with somebody, wife or sister or whatever, he'll always say, oh, check out my new movie. So basically, like, he just had a whole fucking porno production with him fucking other people's wives and shit. And that it was called The Preacher's Wife because around that time, y'all know Dustin Rhodes was, he came out the Goldust gimmick and he was like real sanctimonious and sanctified and holified and all that stuff, you know, with the scriptures and whatnot. And to me, I was on this side, you know, I'm a believer myself. So when I see somebody doing all that stuff in the ring, I'm like, oh, cool, you know, that's pretty dope. But then you got Val Venus, old bitch ass, coming in there saying he done banged the preacher's wife and shit. And like, man, Dustin ain't deserve that shit, man. You could tell, like, the pain on his face was real. Like, that shit just seemed real because, you know, it might not even been a fucking work. Who knows? Like, the video made it seem like she was giving him some head. So, who, you know, you just never know. And that wasn't the first time she done crawled around the bed with another motherfucker on TV fucking around on Goldust. Because I want to say Brian Pillman did the same thing. So, shit, at that point, it's on Dustin. So I guess if Val Venus a fuckboy for that, then Dustin Runnels was like a simp fuckboy, a simplified fuckboy for just taking her back, even though she is already crawling around with Brian Pillman. So I guess I'm at a stalemate with that one. So I'm just going to keep it going. I'm going to get out this sex shit. I'm just going to get to the fuckboys that, like, that ruin moments for me. Like, you know, when you watch wrestling, you know, you got your heat and you got your shine and all that stuff. And then when you get so invested in somebody and then somebody come and ruin that, it fucks with you. So one of the biggest fuckboys and ruining moments for me as a child was Test when he ran in and cost Triple H the WWF title when he went against The Rock as the main event on a random Monday Night Raw. Now, you know, I was just DX all fucking day back then. So the fact that Triple H was getting a title shot against The Rock, I'm looking like, hell yeah, Triple H finally gonna win. Like, the match was good as hell. And I'm thinking he gonna actually win. And then this fucking 6'10" motherfucker come out the crowd and do the little pump handle slam thing on him. And The Rock wins. I'm looking like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is this guy? And that's when they went to say he was like the roadie from Motley Crue, because, you know, Motley Crue had performed on there a few weeks ago. And, man, I was so fucking mad about Test. They then revealed his name was Test. I was so fucking mad that he did that shit that I fucking wrote a damn letter to Vince McMahon that I never mailed off. But I guess I just wrote it for keepsake, just pretty much just airing out my grievances, like just saying how fucking pissed off I was about this shit and how I was gonna whoop Test ass my damn self, even though my 12-year-old ass wouldn't get near the motherfucker. But I'm just saying, like, I'm gonna put my foot in his ass. I'm like, man, I'm over there reading it to my friends at school and they're like, yeah, do that shit, Kanye. I ain't do that shit, man. I left that shit in one of my notebooks or some shit. That shit probably in somebody's landfill right now, but that's besides the point. Test ruined everything for me that time. Like, man, I guess that's what being a wrestling fan is all about, man. Just getting pissed off shit that just make your heart sink. Like, you just want somebody to win so bad, and then the fucking roadie from Motley Crue come and just ruin everything. Like, all fucking roadies from Motley Crue just ruin every fucking thing. Like, who the fuck knows? But I'm getting mad thinking about it now, so I'm going to move on. So I'm going to go into the Big Boss Man now. Big Boss Man did a lot of fuck shit in late 99, 2000, for the 99 and the 2000. Shout out to Juvenile. You know, we gonna start off with the shit he did to the Big Show by, you know, chaining his dad's casket up to that car, and that Blues Brothers car he was driving, and driving off and flanging Big Show off the damn dad's casket. That's some fuck shit. Yeah, we ain't gonna talk about the fuck shit he did just about coming back and joining the corporation. And then the shit he did with Al Snow by feeding him his own damn dog. You gotta be a hateful ass motherfucker to do some shit like that. Like, that shit is beyond me. Like, I don't even have to get into that story. Like, y'all know what the fuck that shit is. But if you don't know, I'ma learn y'all little young motherfuckers real quick. Big Boss Man fucking invited Al Snow to his hotel room for dinner. Pause. He invited him to his hotel room for dinner. And he's like, oh, how you like that shit? You know, I know a motherfucking butcher. He does the damn thing. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. And then he just said, hey, make sure you don't get none of them paws stuck in your teeth. Aha, you want some pepper to go with? Pepper? He did that shit, and that ain't even the worst part about it. The worst part about that whole ordeal was that fucking dog kennel mess they had. Like, you know, I never try to talk down about wrestling, especially anything that has to do with Al Snow, because he's a fucking genius. But the dog kennel match, I ain't gonna lie, though. When I first heard about it, I was hyped. I'm like, fuck, a steel cage inside a Hell in the Cell with some vicious-ass dogs? You mean to tell me Pepper the Chihuahua was fucking mixed with fucking Pitbull and Rottweiler? That shit was amazing, but if y'all know how that shit turned out, you know, the dogs was like a bunch of fucking show dogs. They running on the stairs and shit, doing backflips and shit. They weren't vicious at all, so that shit kind of ruined that, so fast forward a few years later, you got one of my favorites, DDP. Like, DDP and Fuckboy don't even go in the same sentence. Like, it's just no way in hell that shit can happen. But if y'all remember how he made his debut in the WWF, then y'all should already fucking know. Like, the motherfucker was stalking Undertaker's wife. I'm talking about he out there looking at her swim by the pool saying, hey, Sarah, I see you. You got a fat ass and some big old titties. Okay, he ain't say it like that, but he might as well said that shit. Like, that shit, I ain't know what the fuck was going on. Like, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Am I watching a softcore porn? Like, I thought I turned it off, Cinemax. Like, that's what I thought was going on. And then you just see him pop up in the middle of the ring, and then he get a fucking pop out of this world, because everybody like, oh shit, DDP. You know, fuck all that stalking shit we were just watching. This fucking DDP. So they kind of killed him with that shit. Then all I know is later on he had some big ass tifus and he going around smiling and shit. So that's probably the worst part about it. So I don't want to call DDP a fuckboy, but you know, in that moment, stalking another man's wife, especially the Undertaker. Matter of fact, I ain't even gonna call DDP a fuckboy, because why the fuck would the Undertaker have a wife to begin with? He the damn dead man. He got a wife who's very well alive, living in Texas and shit. Like, they said, fuck that Death Valley shit. We gonna give you a fade and a motorcycle, and you gonna live in Texas. Like, this motherfucker had a whole wife. We talking about, he the damn dead man. Dead people ain't got no wives, because they dead. Ain't no weddings for dead people. I'm sure it is somewhere, but hey, I ain't rolling like that. So you know what, DDP? I ain't even gonna call you a fuckboy for that. You are exempt, because Undertaker shouldn't have had a wife to begin with. And when dead people try to get married, they should expect for their wives to get stalked in their bikinis, looking at why I have another dude in there, looking at her like, shorty got the fatty. All that shit. But she didn't even have a fatty, but Sarah was skinny as hell. But yeah, enough about that. I'm going to get into one more before I take a break. So I call this one the Triple H block. Yes, Triple H got a whole block because he did a lot of fuck shit within his fucking WWE or WWF career. And I'm going to start with one of my biggest fuckboy moments for him was when he turned on X-Pac at WrestleMania 15 and broke up DX. Yes, he is the ultimate fuckboy for that, because DX was my favorite stable. And he's just going to break the shit up and join the corporation. That was fuck shit to me. The next one is him allegedly slipping Stephanie McMahon a roofie colada and marrying her. But, you know, to me, honestly, if you think about it, because he ruined the marriage between Stephanie and Tess. So, you know, when Tess ruined him winning the championship that one time, a year or two earlier, Triple H forgot about that shit. He put that shit in his cap. He just, you know, that letter cap he used to wear backwards. He put that shit in there. So he said, I'm going to get this motherfucker back somehow, some way. He going to get married, and I'm going to go ahead and slip his girl the roof. And I'm going to fucking, sorry, I'm childish. And I'm going to marry him and ruin his wedding on TV. He ruined my title shot. I'm going to ruin his fucking wedding. So it all makes sense now. So I'm going to go ahead and scratch it off my list. That was all. That was payback for the fuck shit that Tess did earlier. So shout out to Triple H for that, man. That's some genius ass shit. And let's see. The next one is, oh yeah, when he ruined the initial DX reunion in 2002, when him and Shawn Michaels came out to the DX music, they crotch chopping. Man, let me tell you something. When I saw that shit, I went fucking crazy. Like, if I was the blood, I went brazy. Man, I was so fucking lit. Like, these motherfuckers back, they did the let's get ready to suck it. He did all that shit, and then bam, just pedigreed the shit out of Shawn Michaels. Just killed everything. But that motherfucker, you want to talk about some heat? Man, gave you the desire of seeing DX reunion, and all of a sudden he took that shit away from us. That's some crazy shit. Like, that is some amazing shit, man. So I don't know, Triple H, the more I say he's a fuckboy and this shit, the more I realize he's not a fuckboy. But the Katie Vick incident, that was just weird. Like, this motherfucker, like, got in the casket, but booty ass naked, and humped a corpse looking motherfucker, like, acting like he was Kane. That's some crazy shit. And I'm talking about people fucking dead people. So I gotta take a fucking break, so I'll be right back. Alright, motherfuckers, I'm back with your impatient asses. So I'm going to continue my fuckboy moments. I just got done with the Triple H block. Yes, Triple H had a whole entire block dedicated to him. And I'm going to go to another motherfucker that got a block dedicated to him for all the fuck shit he did. And that would be the one and only Vincent Kennedy McMahon, or Mr. McMahon. I ain't going to call Vince a fuckboy, but Mr. McMahon did some fuck shit. So, like, where can I start with this motherfucker? He's a fucking tyrant that's been on TV for the past 20-something years, you know, as a character. You know, he's been running the company for well over that, but as a character, Mr. McMahon character has been around for 22 years. And he started this shit. You know, what kicked it off for me and him being a fuckboy is when he fired Stone Cold Steve Austin at Judgment Day. I was there in attendance. My next door neighbor, Shara, she yelled out, "Fuck you, Vince." Everybody looking around, why is the little girl saying fuck? I said, "I don't know. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, fuck him. He's on some bullshit then." Like, so that's what kicked it off with me. Like, he did so much shit, so much fuckboy shit. And that shit he did when he had a affair with Trish Stratus. Like, this motherfucker, man, I think he wanted to fucking bust slobs with every fucking female competitor he thought had a nice rack or some shit. Because he always got a hold to him somehow. So he over there slobbing Trish Stratus down like they up in there swapping spit. All type of shit, just busting mean slobs. And in front of Linda McMahon, she was all comatose and shit. And then at WrestleMania 17, he sat her in the chair and put her comatose body in the chair while he groped Trish Stratus. And she just popped up that motherfucker like, and kicked him in the damn nuts. And Shane McMahon ended up beating him. And that wasn't, I ain't gonna say the end of that, because for one, this motherfucker had a match with pretty much all his fucking kids. Like, he had a match with Stephanie at one point. Like, this motherfucker had a whole match with Stephanie. He choking out with a lead pipe. All type of shit. And I ain't even gonna get into all the little sick-ass storylines he wanted to do, but they just said, fuck it, I'm not doing it. So, yes, he did fuckboy shit. He fired Stone Cold. He did that fuckboy shit with Trish Stratus in front of his comatose wife. And the fact that he just had matches with his kids, like, that's just some off-the-rip type shit. Now, I can really dedicate a whole episode to the character of Mr. McMahon for all the wild shit that he did. So, but I'm just gonna move along. So, this other fuckboy moment, you know, holds near and dear to my heart, and this fucking Eddie Guerrero with the whole I'm Your Poppy movement. Now, for y'all that don't remember, about 15, 16 years ago, you know, before Dominic was his fucking wrestler now, yes, he a whole performer in these streets now. But back then, he was claiming that, you know, he banged Rey Mysterio's wife and that Dominic was really his child, to the point where they had a fucking custody on. It was a ladder match for, you know, usually it's like a title or a briefcase or some shit or a contract. But no, it was for the custody of Dominic Mysterio. Like, who the fuck have a whole match for the custody of their child? Rey Mysterio wild for that shit too. Like, that's some crazy shit. So they might probably share, like, that title of being fuckboys during that storyline. So I ain't want to put Eddie Guerrero on this shit, but, you know, when you invested in wrestling, like, as a fan, and you see shit like this, you got to chalk it up in the fuckboy column. Like, who the hell say that they banged your wife and that's really your son, and the only way to settle this is to have a fucking ladder match with the custody papers on the fucking... That shit crazy as hell, but it was fucking amazing. So, shout out to Eddie Guerrero. Rest in peace, one of the fucking greatest. And while we're talking about affairs again, one of the biggest affairs back in those days was fucking Edge and his whole debacle with Lita and Matt Hardy. Now, storyline-wise, like, you know, Edge and Lita just started popping up. You know, I'm talking about Vincent Mann and Trish Stratus busting slobs. Fucking Edge and Lita bust slobs nonstop. They even had a live sex encounter on television, which was insane and crazy as hell. Like Ed said, it's cold in the arena, so he couldn't get it up. Boy, if Lita was bent over in front of me, I don't care if a bajillion people was in the arena watching. I'm standing at attention. I'm in full salute at that point, because Lita was fine as hell. But I'm digressing. But yeah, he did that shit with Matt Hardy and turned out that was like some real life shit that's being spun into a storyline. And so, since it's a real life thing, like, you know, Edge was a fuckboy for that shit. Edge was a fuckboy for the storyline. Adam Copeland was a fuckboy for doing that shit in real life. And I guess Lita was a fuck girl storyline wise. And Amy Dumas was a fuck girl in real life for that shit with Matt Hardy. Because, you know, you really felt for the guy. And then they had it, you know, with Matt Hardy. He pretty much lost to Edge. And it was just a sad situation, man. Y'all know Matt Hardy is like my fucking favorite wrestler of all time. Like, man, if I seen Matt Hardy, I'd probably cry. Like, Matt Hardy, I want to party with you. Yes, I would definitely do that. But, yeah, Edge, that's some fuck shit, man. I ain't even going to get too deep into that. Like, if you know, you know. And next fuckboy moment is The Miz's entire 2006 run. I ain't got no more to say about that. So, I'm down to my final fuckboy moment, and to me, this was the ultimate fuckboy moment. Like, you know, it goes back to when I was a kid. I talked about Million Dollar Man, Jake the Snake, Sid Vicious, Papa Shango, but the number one fuckboy moment, at least on this episode, is fucking Shawn Michaels turning on Marty Jannetty and the Brutus the Barber Beefcake barbershop thing, man. Now, I'm getting a little choked up talking about this shit because it's very hard to discuss. You know, it propelled Shawn Michaels' career to the next stratosphere. And Marty Jannetty, well, let's just say he's talking about murdering people on Facebook. So, terrible. But y'all know what happened, man. You know, the Rockers been having a little riff. And then they was on the barbershop. They made amends. They hugged. They bro-hugged it up. You know what I mean? They, you know, locked that shit in, raised each other's arms just for Shawn Michaels and his leather jacket to super kick Marty Jannetty and send him through that fucking barbershop window. Oh, man. For one, like, you already knew some shit was going to go down because don't nobody just wear no little-ass black leather jacket and some tight-ass Gator Boy jeans and cowboy boots if they ain't about to do no fuck shit. And he obliged us to no avail. Like, that was, man, the Rockers was my favorite tag team, and he did that shit. And ain't no coming back from that shit, man. Just everything Shawn Michaels did from then on out, man. All I could think about was like, damn, you really did that shit. You fuckboy. And I'm just going to, I can't do it no more. So that's all the fuckboy moments I got right now. And honorable mentions, RoboCop. That's it. If you know, you know. But I'm going to end it there. So, thank y'all for listening, man. I hope y'all enjoyed this shit. Y'all know my lying ass been saying I'm going to be so consistent with this shit. But, whatever. I'm human. Whatever. Shit happens. I'm over here wrestling this shit. I'm about to be in a cage match October 17th in Mumford, Alabama with Victory Championship Wrestling. Got that shit on my mental hard because a motherfucker just started wrestling and I'm in a fucking cage match and a War Games one at that. And I'm going to be there with my brother Smooth and Brandon Cash and Tyreek. We going against fucking Hayes Jensen and Aaron James, Jacob Danger, Justin Flo in the upper echelon, which is Joshua Hagan, Wicked Nemesis, Alex Kane, and Dipset Shane Mako. I'm slapping the shit out of all of them. I'm definitely slapping shit out of Johnny Danger. And I should have put fucking Johnny Slaughter as a fuckboy on this list for even booking this shit. Like, I'm top 500 in this motherfucker. Like, you don't be putting me in no fucking cage match. But I'm digressing. I done turned wrestler on y'all. So let me bring it back to Stacks the Homie. And listen to me on Apple. Listen to my shit. Subscribe to my shit. Leave me a comment. Rate my shit. 5 stars if you fuck with me. 1 star if you a fuckboy. Leave me a comment. I don't even care what you say at this point. You could pretty much trash me at this point. So it's whatever. I'm just going to call you a fuckboy and keep it rolling. Check me out on Spotify. Spotify. One more time for the Mohegan Spotify. Google Podcasts. Just any fucking where listen to a podcast. I'm on iHeartRadio. Shout out to them. I'm trying to get on SiriusXM. So, you know, LaGreca, y'all holler at me. I could do some good shit. So follow me on Twitter, SmartHenry85, World Strongest Smart. I'm down challenging y'all motherfuckers because y'all ain't with that shit, man. Y'all scared. Y'all some biatches. So fuck that shit. So shout out to Mario. There's your name drop. My brother Kyle. All that good shit. he didn't do a lot of cool shit for me. Chicago family, homies, all that good shit. Gimmick Minute, fucking Life's a Butch. Shout out to y'all. Y'all my peoples. And I'm just going to end it there. Thank y'all for listening. I'm out. Bye, bitches.